Glad to have Donnie and our brother with us. Hadn't seen him in a good long while. As I said, we talked with somebody today that is a real nice brother. He's wondering about the camp meeting. He was looking forward to the camp meeting. And I say again that they're going to have their camp meeting here in Monroe at the... It's not the Brother Phillips Church anymore. It's another church. As to the name of the pastor, I don't know just exactly what his name is. I've heard it, but I can't remember it. But I know he's out of New Mexico.
Correll.
His name is Correll. It kind of fits in with something I told my wife today. Paul said, I would that ye were spiritual. There's been some great, wonderful things that's taken place. Exciting things have taken place for many years now. It's always been that down through the years, great men like Elijah and Moses and others, they have come on the scene and fantastic things have taken place. All down through the years, the great episode as to the life of Moses and Egypt, how that God struck Egypt with the plagues and how the great power of demonstration through the man Moses took place. It's such an exciting thing. It was at that time that if a person would have been living, that they would have really been shaken, because the Bible teaches that God was shaking the earth and things so phenomenal was taking place until it was something that, you know, if you could have just been there, you would have probably just shook like a leaf. Moses said the sight was so exceedingly great and mighty, I tremble, I exceedingly tremble. And the Bible said God was shaking the earth, and the earth was quivering and shaking, the mountain burning with fire. And the Bible said if so much as any little thing came to that mountain, that God would just do away with it right then. That as much as a hair, if it touched the mountain, it'd be thrust through with a dart. And it was great and it was mighty, and all of the world from that one thing learned about God, the great, wonderful power of heaven and of earth. And that today they still tremble and shake because of the greatness of God. And they read the book of Moses. It is so powerful that even today the Jews accept Moses as the Messiah to the extent that that's all they've ever known until they actually see the coming of the Messiah on the white horse. So Jesus, to throw them off that they might not know of his coming, he came as a babe in a manger, came in poverty and not as a great king, to find himself a bride, Solomon saying that to humble thyself is to make sure thy friend. That is, to come on a white horse or come as a great king, you wouldn't have any problem having friends, because the Bible said everybody is friend to him that hath money. But to humble thyself or to come as one in a manger, that way no one knows that you are rich and they will not fasten themselves to you. You come as a pauper and they don't fasten themselves to you because they don't see any riches. So this way he humbled himself before his fellow man and found out his true friends. And the next time he's coming for his friends to share with them, even as God said to Abraham, thou art my friend. Coming as a great, mighty prince. So then we see that great and mighty things have taken place. But today, there is something greater and mightier than in the days of Moses. Greater and mightier things are taking place. It was said at the coming of the Lord, there is a greater than Solomon here. And so it was, because Solomon was the man of great wisdom and none like him in all the earth as to a king. And then came the Lord Jesus, and he so excelled Solomon till there was no comparison. So then he says a greater than Solomon is here. And now comes the day when the greatest of all is here. And the greatest of all has come. And that is a greater than Solomon that is here today. And having known Jesus after the flesh, in that he came into the earth, from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh, as to an image of sin, as to defeat, and as to being crucified, as to being overcome by his enemies. But we know him as the resurrected Christ. And today the Holy Ghost is here, a greater than Solomon, which is the Spirit of Christ. And so the greatest of all is here today. And our privilege is that the Bible says, and they shall all be taught of God. For shall not be the minister speaking, but shall be God speaking from within him. And let all the world keep silent, because God is in his temple. And so then a greater than Solomon is here today. The wonderful words of God. Faith as to the translation of the church, and that by the hearing of the word, and that word as by God himself. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If you have an ear to hear, then hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not everyone hath an ear to hear. Jesus said, some having ears, they do not hear. They hear the preaching, they hear the sound of the preaching, the Bible said, is gone into all the world. But though they hear the sound, they do not hear the voice of the Spirit. And having eyes, they see, and that they see the preacher, but they do not see him, the invisible one that is present, ministering the words of life to them. Jesus said, the Prince of Life, coming that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. That means filled up and overflowing. So then there's a lot of ambition in the world today. There is ambition for education, money, prestige, power, as to politics, religious fervor as to having great ministries and doing great things and being great people and all these kind of things. But at the same time, there is the word of life, the invisible forces of that great world, and the power of Almighty God, which is not seen except by the elect as to an eye to see, and is not heard except by the elect as to an ear to hear. Which means that in this, it is the very thing that the bride is waiting for, and that the church is waiting for, and that we are on the verge of the translation as to be translated into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And in this, we have all kind of people that's going right along with us. They're walking right along with us. They're singing with us. They're praising God with us. And let me say again that there has been a great, tremendous move in the earth. Great men of God. They have preached, like the man that I talked to today, a wonderful person. To me, I have the greatest kind of respect for him. He's been a light through the years. He's been one of those people that have been he has been a pillar in the temple of God, a man of renown as to people that know him and respect him as a righteous man. And he has done great, wonderful things as to his dimension of spiritual stride. And he hath done great wonderful things as to his ministry, as to his day, as for whatever he excelled in. Been wonderful, outstanding. He hath done his work and done it well. But now there is a new dimension, and there is a new move of God, and there is things that he perhaps has never seen and will never see. Because that move of the ministry is over, and God has excelled to another move of the ministry. And now there is another move of the ministry in the earth today as to God doing a new thing, because he said, I will do a new thing. So there's a new thing in the world today, another move of the ministry. And this time it is altogether different from that earlier move of God, even though the earlier move of God was of God. And it was as Moses compared to the coming of Jesus, in that Moses brought the word. And they rejoiced over the word, and they became indoctrinated with the word, and the natural concept of the word was received by the people, so that they would have a stability as to building churches and worshiping and coming together You know, and their religious cycles at their seasons. But today it's not that at all. It's not a natural word as to an indoctrination, but it is a revelated word to them that has already been indoctrinated, that they might become the great and mighty church of the living God. Not as to the natural, as to the shaking of the earth. Not as that. Moses worked miracles in the earth. The earth opened up and swallowed up the people. The river opened up and swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. But when Joshua came into power, he dealt with the heavens. And the heavens began to be controlled by Joshua. So it was a different move. It was a different day. It was a different thing. God had said concerning this, that in the days of Moses, I shook the earth. But now I shake heaven and the earth. And I shake heaven until the heavens shall pass away, and there shall be a new heaven. And there shall be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So when Joshua came, he entered into the heavenless. That is, he crossed over the carnal mind, as to say the river Jordan, that of death, or that has proved to be death since the problem in the garden as to the tree of knowledge. And we who have been as to the indoctrination of those things, that has been the previous move, Paul having been indoctrinated, having spent his time at the feet of Gamaliel. Afterwards, God took him into the Arabian desert. For several years, God began to revelate all that he knew. And it became a heavenly source to the extent that he was caught up into the third heaven. And so it was with John, who had been an apostle when God exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. And the door was open in heaven and the word was revelated and John found himself in heaven. And so then God says to you and I of today, rejoice ye that are in heaven. And so then, having been indoctrinated with the former move as to the former reign moderately, now then the great wonderful Spirit of God has begun to move over our mind of indoctrination as to the natural letter, and has begun to make that word spirit and life as to the quickening, to bring us the translation even of that, as Enoch in the days when he was translated by faith that he should not see death. The letter as to the law killeth, but the spirit as to the word of the new covenant is spirit, it maketh alive, it is life. My words are spirit and they are life. And so then we find ourselves entering into this great wonderful era, whereas ye are the children of the resurrection and the children that dwell in heaven. And so there's a new move in the earth, and this move is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that is the revealing of the word of indoctrination that the others so patiently and so bravely brought to us as to the intellect of the letter. So then it's the great wonderful moment of translating the church, because this is the rapture, as you say. And I want to say again that there's no such thing as rapture as to biblical terms, but this is the rapture as you term it. And this is the translation of the church. And it is taking place. And all that are of the elect as to the next world or of that dimension shall enter into it. And the others shall not be able to enter into it. Well, there is a 30-fold move. And there is a 60-fold move. And there is a 100-fold move. And as to one fold, as to the move, then it was all that of yesterday, and then there is another move that is of that as of today, and another move as of that of tomorrow. And this is why Paul used the term that I would like to present you, body, soul, and spirit, blameless before God. There's a bodily move, there's a soul move, there's a spirit move, there's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven. There's a first dimension, there's a second dimension, there's a third dimension, there's a first power, there's a second power, there's a third power. And it is so wonderful to be able to excel as to understand. Even in school, as you study the powers, each power as to a numerical move brings you to a greater dimension as to your understanding, or brings you into a greater place as to, like we would say, one man is great, but another man as to Einstein is greater. And one man excelleth as to defining the earth in his life of scientific research. Another man as to the depths of the ocean. Another man as to the heights of the galaxies as entering into what is referred to as the celestial world. So we see this is great and mighty. Today, you are those that are entering into the celestial. As in heaven, so in earth. That on earth, as Einstein, prove that this is your day. Because natural things always forerun spirituals. And that means that in that he came in your day, then that proves that you are the children that are entering into the world of the celestial to understand the spiritual. I spent a lot of time studying the Bible, and I know you have, and other great men have literally worn out Bibles on their face by studying. And I've read it many times as to the Bible, over and over and over. And it has been an exciting venture. It was so exciting, so fascinating to me that my life was literally swallowed up in this for many years. And it was so beautiful it was. And today the Word of God is so lovely to me. But today it is a different mood. Today that word that I one time knew as a printed page or as a literal word has changed into spiritual life and quickening and has become more than an intellectual indoctrination as to faith by the hearing, but it has become faith that came to me as a result of the hearing of that word. And that faith has become a power of transformation to my mind. And as Paul said, to be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, in the transformating of the mind, we find that these things make us to excel to enter into the celestial. So then, it is a different world. It is a different hour. It is a different move. It is the same God, not a different God, not a different word. It's the same wonderful word. In the beginning was God, the Word, the Spirit of life. And it is identically the same, but though there be one God, one Spirit, that is, in that God is a Spirit, yet the Bible says there are many operations. And this is a different operation in the day that we're living in, a great, mighty operation. I would say to you tonight, I'd say tomorrow, our operation is Operation Monroe. Tomorrow, Operation Monroe. We're going to do all we can in Monroe. Then I would say the next day, our operation is Operation Atlanta, Georgia. And we do all we could in Atlanta, Georgia. And so then, this is a different operation now. Things have taken place in the earth. Man is scrutinized in the earth. He has absorbed in the earth. He has seen mighty things in the earth. He has done great and mighty things in the earth. But now we're leaving the earth. We're now leaving the launching pad. And we are on our way now to explore the galaxies. That is to say, as we have conquered in the earth, in that the Bible says, multiply and replenish the earth, in that earth is God's footstool. Now that we've done that, we have come to this great wonderful ability as to a power with a thrust that can raise us from the earth and put us into orbit. So then we have entered into orbit. This great power, this great thrust of God had brought us up, and we've entered into that great wonderful orbit of God. And we have experienced these great tranquilities of chains as we went through these wonderful places. Moving on through these wonderful places from one place to another and seeing these things that our eyes have never beheld before. And we've explored them and we're moving closer and closer. We sing that song, I can almost see the lights of the city. And so then we're moving closer and closer to that great, wonderful, heavenly body as to the celestial. And we can almost enter into that wonderful place as to the gates of that city. And we're beginning to see the lights of that city as John did. The Bible said, descending out of heaven, and her light is most precious. I have seen that city. I've seen that city, and it's so beautiful. And as John with John, I can say that her light is most precious. I behold that city descending from God out of heaven, and I see that wonderful city. And I behold that beautiful city, and her light is most precious, even as that of a jasper stone, John said. So then, in seeing this, we're nearer the city. Almost, we say, we can see the lights of the city. So then we're moving on. Our next venture, as someone said, the third pull, the next venture. That is to say, we, some of us, have entered into the third pull, the third move, the third part of this great wonderful thing. And we've entered into this great wonderful world of light. And we're exploring this light as some that landed on the moon. Some have never gone to the moon. Some will never go to the moon. But these that have landed on the moon, not many, but few. But they broke into that wonderful world. They went through that door that shepherd made as to the great shepherd of the sheep, in that Jesus said, I am the door. Going into this place that was called heaven, John saw it open at the end of the church ages. Or that is to say that Peter had taken the keys, opened the door, both to the Jews and Gentiles. And that is again to say that Jesus, being that door, was open. This great door was open. And the opening of that door was when Peter took the keys to the kingdom, and he opened the door when he peeped in on the inside and said, I see the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he took the keys, and Jesus went right straight to Calvary, and the veil was rent in twain, and the door was open, and then came the beautiful ark of his covenant that was seen from within to show that the rain was over and the dove had been released. And now this beautiful ark of the covenant as to the Christ on the inside was made known in the terms of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which John saw immediately after Calvary. So then the veil has been rent in twain, and this that was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, now is being brought to light or presented. That is to say, the curtains is open to the great drama. And now the last episode of this wonderful thing of God is taking place. And we're beholding this great drama. As the Spirit moves, the veil has been rent in twain. And now the presentation has come as to our eyes of understanding and beholding the great Christ. For as before, no one could see him. For no one could enter in beyond the veil. No one could get beyond the curtain of time. But now the great curtain is open. We made the statement when we went into Russia that now the iron curtain would be rent. And I noticed that George Bush, since he's come into his power of administration, challenged Gorbachev and said, I challenge you to break down the iron curtain. So then the iron curtain, as we said, will be broken down. And then this curtain between the two parts of Germany will be broken down, the bamboo curtain broken down, and these other great curtains will be broken down, because it is the time of the resurrection of the dead. And we had said that this great curtain had to do with the dead. Russia's been like dead people in a cold country as to a preservation. And the Bible speaks of the King of the North coming, but he's on his way, and at last he is. So then that means that the veil has been rent in twain. We penetrated that curtain, even Betty and I myself, as to get the literature into those people over there. And the great curtain is being rent, and it's being broken. And we spoke of the Dead Sea as that which has to do with Israel, as coming forth and life being found in the Dead Sea, which we predicted would happen, and it has happened. I related this to you, that now life has been found in the Dead Sea, and is considered the greatest life-giving spa in all of the world. And that which was just a dead sea as to the lowest place as to sea level in the world has now become the most fabulous place in the world as to wealth. And they say that more wealth is in it than all the wealth of the world put together. And here we see this great sea as to part to Sodom and Gomorrah, where Sodom and Gomorrah was overthrown, and we see life coming into it. The last time we was there, we saw this great canal that's been cut into it, and we there on the bus could look and see the waters, beautiful waters flowing into the Dead Sea. And so the Dead Sea is coming to life, which means that the veil is being rent in twain. That if this death veil is being taken away, it indicates that the wailing walls of Jerusalem that divides the old city and the new will be broken down, which means that that is blind, that is the blindness in part as to Israel will be taken away. So then in that, it indicates the resurrection of the dead. Paul said that the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world. What will the receiving of Israel be but life from the dead? So then as I talk to you this morning in our little bit of revelation as we could bring out that Israel had to do with the resurrection of the dead, so it is now with the breaking down of the Iron Curtain and these kind of things, it means that it's time for the Church of the Living God to go into that great wonderful place to where it will be as to exile from this world. And I explained carefully in some revelational measures this morning as to what happens to the world, as to you being the light of the world and that out there being darkness, and what it has to do with you being the light of the world, and as to the day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same day came the fire and the brimstone upon the earth. So then we can see great and mighty things taking place. So I think they named that this morning as to the midnight cry. And I want to read to you here as to Michael and the war in heaven. I want to read just a little bit, and I don't know how much I can talk on or as to what I say. It depends on how hungry you are. Brother Taylor, he sings that song as to how much God can use us, as to how much we'll allow ourselves to be used. Revelation 10 and 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness of God, for God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, preached to the Gentiles. He was caught up into heaven. And it says here that in the days of the voice, I said to you a few days ago, when it says in the days of the voice, as to the mystery, that the original rendering again is secret, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the secret of God should be finished. Whereas the Bible says concerning the secret of God, though Jesus said in secret, have I said nothing, and I ever spoke openly before you, yet he says the wise man concealeth the matter. And though Jesus spoke openly as preaching the gospel, yet it is a true fact that beyond his words was that mysterious life as to the mystery of God, in that Jesus himself emphatically stated, I stand before you and you look directly at me, and I am God manifested in the flesh. Unless you believe I'm he, you shall die in your sins. And still emphatically stated that though I be before you as God, you've never seen his image at any time. Having eyes, they saw not. Having ears, they heard not. Lest they should have been converted and then would have understood the parabolic speech. And so then, again I say, they said to Jesus, why is it that you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? He said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or it's not given unto them to know the secrets, but unto you as the church it is given. Therefore I speak to them that are without, parabolically speaking, that they may hear the gospel, but may not receive the revelated mysteries as to this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation? It is a mystery made known. What is a mystery? It is a revelation concealed. What is the Old Testament? As the Old Testament, it is veiled, and you cannot see beyond the veil. And the Bible says, Paul said this, him that he was caught up beyond the veil and he saw beyond the veil. He said, the reading of the Old Testament, there is a veil over the face of the people, which veil, as he said concerning his day, remaineth until now. Which veil, he said, in the reading of the Old Testament, keeps the people from understanding it. So this is the blindness of the part, as do Israel. What veil was this? It was the veil over Moses' face. So they could not steadfastly see to the end of this great wonderful light. It was a rain moderately, and it was as to the former house, even the Jew, in that you're the house of God. But it also was the former light, and that light God had given, and that light as to shaking the earth was mighty, and that light was the word of God as to the printed page. But again, that word was concealed in that it was not revelated. For when I say light, I speak unto you as light, children of light, or I speak unto you of light. I am saying understanding. Understanding. The Bible said, and your understanding being enlightened, that you may comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths. So then this light, and I say unto you that you are the lively stones of that city. And somebody that is natural says, you know, this is foolishness. This is foolishness. Give me that word. That word reads thus and thus. This is foolishness that they're talking about, somebody says. And so then you that are carnally minded do not receive the things of the Spirit. For the Bible said it's impossible for the carnal mind to receive the things of God, because carnality is enmity with God. And they that are carnally minded are in the things of the flesh, into the natural world, and of the natural world in the first man Adam, and in him all are dead in that they live. They that are in the world, that is in the flesh, they that are in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. So then we find that this veil that is over the face of Moses has so made this light to where the Bible said that though it was so great and mighty that swept all of the world, yet it hath no glory by the light as to the light of the latter house, even the revelated light of the unveiled Christ, which Christ is in you as to that light. The former light of the Jew as to that of the letter had no light or glory as to this light, which is the church that so excels. This church is so great that it doesn't just shake the earth. It goes all the way up, and the overseer as the capstone, saying, not I that live but Christ, being Paul up into the third heaven. Going up into the third heaven. And so then leaving the first heaven as with Moses. Going up into the third heaven, we find this great mighty light. And so we see this light. We see the city descending out of heaven. Or I behold this wonderful city as the building of God, in that the Bible says that ye are God's building, and you're built upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders. As to the apostles, these foundations as to the new city for which Abraham searched. For the Bible said, and Abraham searched for a city whose foundations were laid by God, and whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible says, Paul, not I that liveth, but Christ is to God, I am the wise master builder. And ye are the lively stones, and the apostles there are the foundations. And ye are built up as through the church ages into this great, wonderful, wonderful building of God, in that you're God's building, a habitation for praises, to a habitation for the eternal Spirit, whose light is most precious. As to the bride of Christ descending out of glory, a bride adorned for her husband, this great, wonderful New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, not as to the old Jerusalem, as to Hagar and the bond's child, as to that that answers to Mount Sinai, to the word of bondage, as to the law and the letter that killeth, But after the New Jerusalem, the Bible said Sarah, the mother of us all, and that great, wonderful, allegoric light that Paul spoke of, and that light most precious, which means the understanding of this great, wonderful city, even like most precious, like unto a jasper stone. So then we see this wonderful thing taking place, and other foundations can no man lay except these that Jesus picked as the 12 apostolic foundations of that city, saying that to the east and to the west and to the north stands the 12 tribes that encircled in the Old Testament the little tent that was called the temple. That is the third part on the inside. Called the temple, where the Bible said, physically speaking, that ye are the temples of the living God, and God dwells within you as to body, soul, and spirit, as to outer court and the court, and as to the holies of holies back at that place. All typical of that which Moses saw in the spirit, as the heaven to give us a natural manifestation as to an image that we might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length by the allegoric types. Or that is to say, to come back to the original theme of our thought here, to say that this veil that is over the reading of the Old Testament, it is over the minds of the people. This veil then being one thing as to the veil over Moses' face, and that is the veil of death, which is the intellectual infiltration as a derivative from the tree of knowledge. That which was Satan, the intellectual reasoning, even the God of this world, that is by his mystic power created a heaven as to a lying vanity which must pass away. For as Solomon said, all is vanity, vanity, and vexation of spirit. So then they that observe the lying vanities as to their intellectual comprehension, as to be carnally minded, the Bible said they have forsaken their own mercy, in that their mercy is that wonderful light, most precious, which is within the veil that has to come forth at the midnight cry, at the unveiling, in that when you light the candle at the midnight cry, all are not then asleep. All are then not in darkness. But the darkness has been rent, and here is the light as to the candle that you lit. And so then her light is most precious, in that the candle of the Lord is the spirit of man searching out the inward parts. And we brought it out this morning how that God will come and move your candlestick if you do not repent and walk with him. So we see that this veil that we're referring to, that's over the face of the bride of Isaac, has come to separate the beauty of the woman from the sight of the man. Why is there a veil as to Israel and as to Moses, who was made God unto Israel, who was a type of Jesus, in that he said, it shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself, and if people don't hear him, they shall be cut off from among the people. So then we see that this veil is shamefacedness. That's why the Bible said the woman should be shamefaced, even in the presence of the man as they came with the veil, because it is the woman that has sinned. It is the woman that has this infiltration between her and her head, even Eve, that wears this veil, as to this mind that came into hers by reason of the fall and that of the beast there in the garden. And it is this veil of death that separates her and her husband, in that the man was not found in the transgression, and it is only in the secret chambers, as this woman enters into the secret chambers as to Isaac, that the veil is removed, and then they become one flesh, even as it is with man and wife in union, as to behold that which is his own body, as to the removing of the veil to reproduce and bring forth his own image in this life. So then we see the greatness of what God has done even in this hour. But now comes Calvary, and the veil is moved. For the veil that is over the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament to keep them from seeing the revelational thing that's hid within the veil, now this veil is rent in twain, and that Calvary has come. And that which was given to us in Christ before the world ever was has come forth by this rent veil to be a great light for that which was has come to light to be preached down through the church ages as measures of light. So then I said that to say this, that with the rending of that veil and this great wonderful light as to her light most precious coming forth, then we see this transformating light, this power. The Bible said, and this veil over the minds of the people, as in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Or that is, it is eradicated by the mind of Christ. Or as the sunlight comes up, Jesus, the day star, even the great light, the mind of Christ dawning within you, eradicates the intellectual mind of the infiltration of that which Paul referred to as in the flesh there's no good thing. So till the day star dawns within you, which refers back to the great sunlight of the light, most precious, or that is to say, that's why that I spoke to you this morning and in the last services of the body of this death. I believe that on Friday night they called it the body of this death, as to the rending of the veil, because the Bible said he made in himself as of twain, both Lord and Christ, as to say two are twain, and that at Calvary he rent the veil in two, or rent the veil in twain, or that is, he separated the Lord from the Christ, or the Spirit from the body, as to show that your body is now dead and your spirit went back to God who gave it at death, and your veil as the body of Christ has been rent in twain, and your body is dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and your spirit is hid with the resurrected Christ as that side of him in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven, which means that coming to this great, wonderful, dimensional move as to the next move of God, it means that I preach to you that you cannot sin. You cannot sin because you are born of God. In the early move of God as to the first part of this great move, we were just up and down. Like little children under tutors, though we be Lord of all, yet we were under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father, which is the bar mitzvah, as to the rent veil, that is coming to this, that is to say, now you cannot sin. Back then as a living soul, that was as far as you seen. Now you see Calvary and you see the death of the living man, and now you are born again, and it is the second man from heaven, even the second man that the Bible said was made a quickening spirit. He that is born to the Spirit is spirit. Now, let me say this to you, and see if you can understand what I'm saying. I said some of these things to my wife today, and maybe I can say a few of them to you to where you'll understand. God said, this day have I begotten myself a son. Even this day. Now here's what we've got to remember, that God has never at any time begotten himself a son as to the natural. Never. Never. God has never begotten himself a son to the natural. Never. So then you would say, why is that? Because God is a spirit. And God as a spirit, he has begotten himself a son of the spirit. And this is why I preach the differentiating between your body and your spirit today, as the laying aside that which is a living soul. For as to that that sinned, it must surely die. And to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive by the resurrection of Christ as to the Spirit. That is to say, he was delivered for my offenses and raised again for my justification. So then I find that in my Calvary, as to say that this Jesus came unto me, and I've been born to the Spirit, and now that I'm born to the Spirit, as to my inner being, as to the angelic man on the inside, I am now a quickening spirit. And I pass from death, which is out of the body, to a living soul, and now I am in heaven and hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. For at death, the body went into the grave of the water, and my spirit went back to God who gave it. And I am now equal to the angels and cannot die. Because angels cannot die, God must destroy angels if they do wrong. They cannot die, they're not subject to death. So then, knowing that I am now in heaven, he said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. For ye are not in the flesh, therefore we cannot walk in the flesh. For he that walks in the flesh cannot please God. For it means he's never been born again. But if you're not in the flesh and in the spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are not in the flesh, but are in the spirit. And you cannot die because death is in the flesh. And you've exhaled death and you've gone on to the great angelic spiritual world. And now ye are they that dwell in heaven, being equal to the angels. And you cannot die. And you cannot be under condemnation, for there is no condemnation to them that are in the Lord, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And of course, you cannot walk after the flesh because you're not in the flesh. For he said, I've chosen you out of the flesh and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the millennium, the restoring of all things. So then you cannot sin because you are born of God. The seed of God, even Christ, remaineth in you, and he is your hope of glory, and he hath fulfilled the righteousness of the law in you, and you have been passed from death unto life, that is, from condemnation unto faith. You can never again doubt. Your inner man can never again doubt. If he cannot doubt, then he cannot sin. For unbelief is sin. And the covenant has been changed as from do's and don'ts, as of the keeping of that of the Old Testament. Paul said as to doing away with the ritualistics, or as to those things that are ordinances that you must keep by bodily conformity. Being him, having fulfilled all of these requirements of God, having done away with the ordinances, have brought to us a new covenant, even the covenant, the Bible said, which is by that of which God sware, even the Son of the promise, as to the vow. So then we are they that be of the covenant of the oath. Having, the Bible said, being able to swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I shall multiply thee. So then we see that we have the covenant of eternal life. Life in that more abundantly. So then the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Which means if he cannot sin, he cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. And if he cannot sin, it means that he cannot transgress the law, because transgression of the law is sin. And the man that is dead to the law by the body of Jesus, and the law dead to the man by the body of Jesus, in that which is old is to the covenant, God finding fault with it, it's ready to be folded up and laid away. So then as to the keeping of the law, as to ordinances, the Bible said, it is written, he that keepeth the law, and one thing must keep all of it, and the Bible said to transgress one of it, as to the least of that which God has commanded is to transgress all of it, for you're guilty of the little, you're guilty of the lot. And so then to put away, as to say, the keeping of ordinances, and to come into this wonderful Christ life, to enter into his day, which is the rest of the Lord on this side of Calvary, as to the day that the Lord has made. The Bible said John entered into the day of the Lord, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So then, to enter into the Holy Ghost, that is to say, your spirit entering into the Holy Ghost, which is Christ's Spirit, is the day of God's rest, for when God made Jesus, he fulfilled all things, and Jesus said, it is finished, and God rested after that. So then, whatever we are to be, we've been made that in Christ Jesus, and your victory is the faith that overcometh the world. Even this, you be of good cheer, that Jesus overcome the world, and for you to believe that he overcome the world means that you have overcome it. So then, what we are to be hath made us to be that in Christ, and whatever he wanted us to be, so are ye in Christ, as he is before God, so are we. And our life is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until that restoring, and when he, our life, appears, then we shall be changed into that glorious image, into that Thessalonian change. We're to console the brethren with this as to the coming of the Lord, whereas the Bible says, every man that hath this hope within himself, that is to say, faith toward that translation, will purify himself in heart even as he is pure. For by faith God purifieth the heart. Alright, so then we can see a little bit here of what we're trying to say as to great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mystery. And at the sounding of the last trump, that the mystery should be finished. As to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, the time is at hand. For if that which is invisible is revelated, then that means it is no longer invisible, it is thus visible. As to the eyes of your understanding, and that means that this world that is now visible must pass away. For I remind you again that this world only exists as within your heart. Eternity also exists from within the heart. So then this world exists because it is a lying vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity. And it is only a shadow of that which is to come. That's why we use the term that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that you're without excuse. So then our great wonderful education must begin with the intellectual indoctrination of the Word. And then after that it must be revelated. For we must pass from death unto life as to the blood application here in Egypt. And then we must cross over the Calvary of the Red Sea to leave our enemies behind. That the transitional changes of transformating in the mind as we fight against the serpents, looking on the brazen serpent as to Calvary through that transitional period of the church ages, or going through the wilderness as to the dark ages, it is called, concerning the intellectual side of the world. So then we are coming across that, and the indoctrination of this great wonderful thing is to a foundational thing of the Word we see. And then after that we cross over the Jordan as to the intellectual mind of death, and we get beyond the old powers of the serpent, enter into the mind of Christ as to the land of Canaan where the milk and honey is. And we see these fruits under perfection that the Bible speaks of. So then is seeing this as to Joseph in the heart of the earth and coming out as to Christ, as we've illustrated in the past of these things, where the ill-famed woman as to the harlot laid her hands upon Joseph and tried to make Jesus commit harlotry. Joseph rend himself out of the garment and left it in her hands, as to say that Jesus, that is to say Christ, rent himself out of the garment of the body called Jesus and left it as an image like unto sin in the hands of the harlot of the world, or the world which is a harlot, and went on to his father. So we see these things as the veil is moved away. As we read the Old Testament, we say then it wasn't just a story of Joseph and Joseph being in the prison and Joseph being at the right hand of Pharaoh, but that it was Christ. And that it was Christ within the veil, even as he went into Egypt and took him a bride, even an Egyptian bride. Well, that is to say, Jesus did not take a bride among the Jews or his own brethren, as to the Israelites, but a woman that was there in Egypt to show the Gentile bride. And we see the whole life of Jesus within the story of Joseph, because the veil is melted away, because this light most precious has come up. And as the sun melts the snow and the growth from underneath is shown, as the teeth begin to shine as the mouth is open, so is the coming of this great wonderful light most precious, as it reveals the innermost being of the true man from heaven, even the second man, the second Adam, the quickening spirit. So the Bible said, and he made a way, because the veil was rent in twain, and the Bible said that is to say of his own body, even the flesh, to give us a more sure word of prophecy and a sure way, as being the door into this wonderful place called heaven, even the door that John saw open at the end of the church ages when the voice said, come up hither, John. So then going into the secret chambers, the veil is removed, and thus the beauty as to the expose, and we see them become one as to Isaac and his bride. And now, folks, we're moving into the secret chambers. I know the Bible says if They say that he's in the secret chambers, go not forth. That's true. And we're not saying he's in the secret chambers because Paul said he's above you, he's in you, he's through you. He's everywhere. In him we have our being. But it is a true fact that it is the secret chambers. The Bible says that she entered into the mother's chamber. And it's not a secret chamber as to us, it is the mother's chamber. So then he is in the chambers, and we go into the chambers because the Bible speaks of this as we, Paul said, withdrawing from the world, keep under our body. Well, that is as to the minute, the innermost, withdrawing from the human senses of the world as to be active in the flesh, alive, withdraws from that as to the outer crust, coming into the stone of the innermost word as to that which is inside, we say the seed, and then the sealing of that life to where the parasites that feed off of that which is presented in our outer human senses cannot penetrate this great stone of Christ in which we are sealed and cannot get to this life as it is carried to the world of reproduction. So then we see the wonderful thing taking place. And as to the worm, the stages of the metamorphosis, as the worm Jacob, the Bible says, and then his name changed to Israel, and is the great prince as to the innermost being as that of spirit, the son of the spirit, coming forth like the butterfly, as to the covenant, leaving this gravitational place as to the boundaries of earth, excelling up into heaven, into the wonderful celestial of God. So then I say again that God begets spirits as his sons. So inwardly God has begat you as the son. Paul said begat you in the gospel. So then it's not me speaking but God. And this day have I begotten myself a son. Even the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ has continued to those lively stones. The capstone of Jesus Christ being the head. What we said is to that prism that came at Calvary that showed the refraction of light as the great light struck it, and the signs say all of the colors being within that prism are the light as breaking forth down through the church ages as to the seven church age messengers, or that is to say this great light most precious as the conglomeration of beauty coming forth as that rainbow of the covenant from Calvary over to the end of the world. That is from Calvary to the new earth coming in where we're crowned king. Looking at this, then we realize that there is something within the shell as to the chick within the egg and the shell first, that which is natural first. And now the rending of the veil as the little chick pecks his way out. And so then here we see that this innermost glory is thus revealed. And the veil is thus rent, and this glory so exhales that everything is swallowed up and it surmounts as it comes in its dimensional releasing through the church ages as the such great thing that the millennium comes in and the curse is gone. And then it continues as to the coming of the fullness of it. That is to say, the Ancient of Days, and then when the Ancient of Days comes, this great light, most precious, so exhales that the new Jerusalem is seen. And the fullness of this light is seen. And the natural earth, even the millennium, changes over into a celestial condition. And the sea fades away. And the heavens fade away. And the earth fades away by the light most precious of the fullness of this light which is come. Right now, the Lord is appearing as the revelational light most precious within you as to the transformating of your mind, speaking the world out of existence in your heart, and the world of vanity is thus passing away. As you transformate in your mind, and this great light being the kingdom of God, that wonderful mind of Christ is beginning to build itself within you, the kingdom of God within you. And the world around you is beginning to change, and you're beginning to see not as to these natural things through your natural eyes, but heavenly things through your heavenly eyes. And as Paul being caught up into the third heaven, as John moving into the supernatural and into the Spirit, and God is building within you the great kingdom of God from glory to glory, from light to light, from transformation to transformation of that part of His glory that's revealed to you as you're able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this wonderful, beautiful world that is coming in as that city descending out of heaven, even the lively stones whose light is most precious. So we see with this there comes the change. And this morning we clarified this a little more because we spoke particular of those things as pertaining to the natural side. Now we're speaking more particular as to that that pertains to the heavenly side, as to the celestial, that is to say, the next dimension of these people that are coming in. All right, this is close at hand, folks. It's happening right now. But they that do not have eyes of understanding cannot see. For the Bible said the children of this world do not have eyes to see. And Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend as the enlightening of their understanding. They cannot comprehend because there's no enlightening of this precious light, or this inner light most precious, that is being revealed to them as to a lively stone, or as to this light on the inside that was in Jesus that revealed to him that he was God. This innermost light, even the revelation of the Son of God from the innermost being coming forth to reveal to you that you are the God body members, in particular the great wonderful God body. So then God begat himself a son. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you say that God did not beget himself a natural son. No, because the Bible says that God is a spirit. So then he hath begat you as sons of God. Within the little shell comes the chick. And as the embalmer calls it, your body is that little shell. So on the inside, he hath begat him a spiritual son. So the spiritual son is maturing as the child in the womb. Paul said, travailing till Christ be formed within you. Even Christ, the hope of glory. So then we see this forming on the inside. And we see this thing taking place in a great, mighty way so that you can have an inheritance. For I remind you again, the woman of the Old Testament that did not have a son did not get an inheritance. And this was why the great dispute came over the two harlots and the children at the one having smothered the child to death. We brought this out in Revelation, remember? And so then we must have the child on the inside. For it is Christ within you, the hope of that inheritance. Christ in you, the hope of that glory, for the Bible said he alone was made heir to glory, for the promise was as to one, in that not as of many, but as of Christ, even one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the inheritance to Christ as to you through Christ. So we find then that this Christ is taking place. Now then, let's look at Jesus. This day have I begotten myself a son, as to speaking of the head of the body. As to the head of the church, even Jesus, who hath perfected the members of his body by his own headship and his own ability, as to his sacrificial efforts toward his bride. So then, we see that Jesus, then God, begat himself a son, but not a natural son. For the Bible said that the second man from heaven is a quickening spirit. God, who is a spirit, brought this son into existence. But he did not bring him into existence as you and I. He brought him into existence as the quickening spirit. So the second man from heaven was made a quickening spirit. God, who is a spirit, begat himself a spiritual son. And we are born to the spirit as to become one spirit with that spirit, even the body of that spirit. Having been born to the spirit, therefore, we're not as it was in Adam as to all die living soul, but now quickening spirit in Adam as to the membership of the great God body, which is that great building of God, that great city of God, that great temple of God whose light is most precious. So then, when we look at it, we see that Jesus, who is a quickening spirit, he came as the word of life and spirit made flesh and was manifested as a natural being that you and I may behold him as the Son of God. But he was the great quickening spirit from heaven. He said, ye are of the earth, and from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. But I am not of the world. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. And so that we see a great, wonderful thing taking place. Now let's look at it for just a few minutes here. We could go on and go on in the great, wonderful mysteries of God as to the revelation of Christ to bring you into heaven. Why then are you saying these things, Brother Pike? Why are you telling these things? Because as it was preached to you as to the natural word, that is the word of God, which is spirit, so that you could believe and become a Christian, that is, be born into this great world, into this kingdom. I am preaching this to you that you might transformate and transfigure as an ultimatum into the great world of God, as to the three-dimensional projecting of God. As I said, concerning the propulsion from earth. See, that is to say, Calvary is sufficient for the thrust to take us clear into the next world. So, I'm saying this to you because it is God transforming your mind, which is the translation. Your translation is instantaneous as to your interspirit into the kingdom of God, which is the Christ spirit. And then your transformation of mind is the graduality, as to say, from the Red Sea over to Jordan, and the coming into the mind of Christ and learning that God is your leader. And then as all of the elders died in the wilderness, it shows us to the crossing of the Jordan, the children going in, which means new birth, that the firstborn is smitten and the elder dies. As the 1, 2, 3 as in Egypt, so it was with Egyptians as in the wilderness, so it is with the elders, and as in Canaan, so goes the children of God. So then it means the great wonderful thing was taking place as to a 1, 2, 3 leader. As to Joseph in Egypt, and as to Moses, which was with them in the wilderness, and as to Joshua, which took them on in to Canaan. So then we find that this thing that has taken place is your transformation from earth to heaven. That is to say, though God has made you to be in heaven, you don't know anything about it. As the little child, he has been made to be in life. He has come forth from the womb and he is in life, but he doesn't know anything about it because he has no knowledge of anything. So to know is knowledge. And he hath no knowledge of it, but life is present. And the jubilance of the new birth is there. But as he is tutored and taken by this life into a transformation as to the development of mind, that is to say, he grows into manhood, so does this Holy Ghost life on the inside of you, which is the life of Christ, bring you by a transformating from glory to glory into the wonderful maturity of manhood in Christ, saying, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I put away those things, now that I've become a man, growing right up on into the third heaven, as Paul said. John, right on through that door into heaven, and thus we move on into heaven as it was with Elijah, as it was with Enoch, as it was with Moses, who appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we're moving on now to recognize who we are and what we are and where we are as to how far along this journey we've gone. Say as to the thrust, how far is this rocket on its way? So then 3 stages of it as to 1 stage and then the drop off and another stage and then the drop off and the last is the payload that actually goes on in, which is very, very minor as to all of these other weights the Bible said that we lay aside. Laying aside the weights that does hinder us. Even these gravitational powers of human reasoning. Laying aside every weight that we might transformate. We say in the song, higher, higher in the school of wisdom, ever let me go. So then we are transformating. Because it is the rapture, it is the translation, it is the transformation. But the church world isn't doing this. The preacher gets up and he preaches a sermon to them and they shout. They have a good time, they repent, they give him an offering, and they're right back to the same place they was to start with. Where the Bible said, therefore leaving the foundation of repentance, going on to the next dimension, the next move, going on to perfection. See, leaving that as in the earth. See, and so then we are preaching the Word of God. And the church world doesn't go anywhere. And then when they leave, not having transformated, not having the power of thrust, not going through the transformation as to the change, then they go to the ball games. And they've got to have ball games. and they've got to have parties and social benefits, and they've got to have, even as I told my wife today, revivals, and somebody comes and preaches the great revival, and people go down to the altar, and they cry, and the daughter wipes the tears out of the eyes, and the mother hugs her, and she hugs mother, and they've done this in the last revival, and they've done that in the revival before. And as soon as the revival is over, sister goes back to her shorts, and mama goes back to her bobbed hand. They go back to the things of the world. See, just revival over and over that doesn't mount to a hill of beans. But we're moving into the great, wonderful things of God. Those people are earthbound. Those are earthly people. They cannot come into this. See, but you're not like that. You're moving on. You're transformating like Paul. Moving on to the third heaven. Moving on. Moving on. Going on into those wonderful things of God, because it is the rapture. It is the translation. And after a while, you're going to come to a maturity. We say, can almost see the lights of the city. And you're going to come to a maturity. And you're going to say, my God, I'm in heaven. That preacher has been preaching and he's been saying all these things and I've been listening to it and I didn't know that I was in heaven. And yet I recall that he said I was in heaven. And you begin to look around and you're going to be like Paul. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I can't tell. But you're going to find yourself in heaven and you're going to say, God, the only thing is I just wasn't able to differentiate. I didn't understand what the man was saying. I didn't understand what Paul meant about rightly dividing the word of truth. And so then you're going to discover this. More and more you're going to discover this. You'll discover it by measure as God is able to give to you. Because the Bible said God has dealt unto every man the measure. And you're getting it by measure as you're able to get it. And the rest of the world will look on. They won't know what's happening. The veil of that intellectual thing as to Satan and that darkness of the Bible speaks of the gross darkness as the intellectual reasoning. Even religion will cover the people. But being children of the transformating light, even the light most precious, then you're going to move on and on, and you're going to see the greater dimension as to this bright light. And this light, the Bible said, which is God Himself coming forth. Had to do away with the mystery in that the light comes and the shadows is gone. And we sing, time shall be no more. No more, no more. Because time comes by means of shadows. Eradication of shadows, then light. And there is no more time, which means no more death, which means no more of this world. And so as the light comes, as it transformates, even as the Bible said, they could not behold Moses' face, that wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. Even as it was of Stephen's as to an angel, even as it was when Jesus, as to the fullness of it, the great light, and he glistened on the mountaintop. So then as you move on with this transformating glory and this wisdom from within, the great light most precious, breaking forth, it is there to change your body into that wonderful ultimatum of the eternal body, even that temple that is in heaven. So then there's a natural body, spiritual body, celestial. There's the glory of one, glory of the other, glory of the stars and all different glory. And I wish we had time to say something about that. But anyway, this is where we're at. And one day you'll discover what has taken place. And folks, it is so close at hand. And let me say this as kind of a summary as to some natural things that I'm sure that you can understand as to a few things here tonight, and we'll close out. You've been a real good audience. If you'll be patient for a few more minutes, we'll say just a few little things that might help you to believe a little more in the spiritual things that we're trying to tell you. First of all, I brought out to you how close this thing is a few nights ago. It is for you to know. Remember that now. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not supposed to know. I came up with this little thing in my life where they said there's just certain things that you don't want to know. You can't know. God don't intend for you to know. They'll drive you crazy. And I had that in the back of my mind, and I wouldn't study and I wouldn't try to go on with God. I just had it in the back of my mind. The devil had stuck that in like a thorn. And one day I realized how foolish I was, and I said, my God, get that thing out of my mind. The Bible said I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things, and that God hath made known unto me all things. All things, Jesus said, I've made known unto you that my Father's made known unto me, knowing that He knew all things. So then I began to get into these wonderful things of God. This is what God wants you to do. get into these wonderful things. It is for you to know. And it is for you to know that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. Don't let anybody tell you that nobody isn't supposed to know. The Bible said if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If I lift up my voice like a trumpet and the voice of the day of the last, as to the mystery, if there should come forth as to a trumpet at any time to give a certain sound, then we prepare ourselves to the battle. So this is a trumpet of certain sound, saying that it is for you to know, and it is for you to know even to the extent that when it is nigh even at the door. He wants you to know so you can prepare yourself for the battle. But them out there that say, nay, nay, it's an uncertain sound, and they cannot prepare themselves to the battle. So then you prepare yourself to the great, wonderful battle of Almighty God. Even the battle of Thessalonians, where the Bible speaks of Revelation 19 and the coming back, even in the book of Revelation. So as to the great battle when the blood will run to the horse's bridle. So then I say this to you that is nigh, even at the door. The midnight cry is upon us. And the darkness of that night, the Bible said the gross darkness covering the people is the intellectual constraint of the IRS and of the government and of colleges and religious ritualistics that has swallowed up humanity. And that gross darkness is of the power of control. And you are the children of light. And gross darkness is covering the people. And now the light most precious is beginning to penetrate and beginning to appear. For God shall appear within you, even his temple. And the whole world shall come and kneel before you and worship before you. And Paul said, glorify God in you. They will come and praise you in a good thing, the Bible said. They're going to come because the time is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, and John said, the time is at hand. Now, let him that is just be just still, and him that is unjust be unjust still. For the time is at hand, the revelation, the revealing of Jesus, even the predestinated revealing or making known that before the world ever was, you was either just or unjust. And now it's only the revealing as to what you've always been, the mind of God. That's what the revelation is as to what you are, who you are, and where you are. What is taking place and what is taking place and what is going to take place. So then think of this now. It's close at hand. I said something to you this morning about the thing that concerning the opening of the eastern gates. So I'm not going to try to go through that. But I said this morning that we were standing down here at what's called the Father's house. Remember all those things coming together. The Father's house. Which means when everything is together, that means all the members, the last of the members. So then I told you what happened as to the opening of those doors and us going through the doors and somebody coming and giving me that cap that I slipped on my head that says now has come power. And I spoke to you as what it means as to the catching up of the man child at this hour is to a present day revelation. You can tie this in with a few things we said this morning. At this time, Brother James Isaac, I said, was standing before us, and I spoke of to you of what he represented in being there. Now, at that time, Brother James was relating to me, and these are some natural things that you can understand as to pinpoint time and seasons. So then Brother James standing there, while I was talking to him, I was watching this wonderful revelation in the mind of God. And so then while I was watching, I saw these things. And James was relating to me concerning an authority. There was an authority that had been speaking on the radio, and this authority was as pertaining to the coming of this common market over in Israel. I've told you how that Betty and I have been there to Brussels, and we've seen this these buildings, and we see where these 10 nations come together as where it really shows the 10 horns. And we spoke of this, and we spoke of this head as to this triple thing concerning this monster as a machine, as to the 3-in-1, and we spoke of a number of things that pertains to the common market. Now, We told you not too long ago that the papers published a little article, some of you may have read it, where that they are coming together now in Europe, and they are going to produce a market, a place of marketing that will take in many nations, many people, and they'll all come together in a constituted effort. And this effort will bring about a great market that will be so great. But I told you, I said, what they're going to try to do is to bring this thing together, and when they bring it together, put America out of the picture as being the head of the nations and controlling all of these great products as to import and have their own thing, and that with that, the powers of government will shift from America over to that country. Well, that was exactly what this authority said. He said, we're going to come together, and we're going to have this thing in such a way that we will not have to depend upon America or look to America. Now remember this, the Bible said as to even Israel, speaking to America also, when you are religious in God as to righteousness, I made you the head of the nation. But when you are not, then I make you the tail. So Israel has been, and now she's ready to come to the head as to make Israel pass through the fire and make her the head of the nations. America's ready to fall. This is the woman world, that is the man world. And so that in the natural transition of time is from the eastern world over to the western world, as to a historical pilgrimage, as to written on the page of learning, so comes God as to the Jew and salvation of the Jew and from the Jew to America. That is, the seed comes from the male, comes to the woman world of the female, and now the child has been formed, the woman being heavy with child has come forth to birth the child, whereas I made this statement to you, when that power of China came over and when Jimmy Carter was in power, I spoke to you of Reagan and of Jimmy and of the last trumpet and the finishing of the mysteries, and I brought it out in detail somewhere on the tape. I had to show you the red dragon laying there to devour the child. I showed it to you real clearly that in the end of the world, Revelation 11:15, and the last angel sounded. Revelation 10:7, he will sound. Revelation 11:15, he did sound. And I brought it out where it was the end of the world. What it had to do with is the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of God and of Christ. And how that Chinese thing had taken place. Whereas right now, after Betty and I have gone over into China, where Brother Jerry Lambert and myself gave out so many tracts there, in the area or somewhere near, this great thing is broken out. And I think they said they killed 500 students. And now the students are ready to arm themselves. As I told my wife, I said, they will not stop, and they're hanging bodies up, I understand, to stir the people up against the military. See, because that is the sleeping giant being awakened, and that is the red dragon as of the communistic protest against the Statue of Liberty that they made as to maybe 20 feet or whatever it was. There the students made this thing, and their protest. This thing is stirred because of a man called George Bush. Going into these places and going as to that in the natural so as in the spiritual to bring back as it was even in this country the early way of democracy, that is to say the spirit of truth which was represented by the father of our nation, which many things could be said about. Speaking of this, then this great thing is to take place. This thing thus far has been so powerful that in this, that Gorbachev made the statement, said this thing that you are conjuring up, as we would say, or bringing together, bring it on over into Russia. So then, the breaking down of the Iron Curtain will come to be able to obtain this wealth of those convening countries, of the unionizing of these powers. For the Bible said, and 10 kings as to leaders shall give their power to this great beast as to the head. And the Bible teaches that they will come together, Then the subduing of the three will come by the great head, which has to do as with Khrushchev, or not Khrushchev, but Gorbachev, as to the northern power. So then the great money power being involved, which of course will be the papacy of Rome, which has so much money, will be in this. I spoke of today how that this Pope, as one that never before has gone all around, getting everybody together, the naturalist to the natural church, to head up unto him, which brings Antichrist, which formed the beast of those three powers, as to the three things I said, as to government, as to sports, as to religion, of which the body is composed, and you'll find it to be exactly that, as to the recreational thing, as to sports. So then you'll find that the constitution of this will come in these three major things, and these are the things that's been able to penetrate the curtain, as the sports as to the Olympics, and as to religion, as to the Catholic powers. These things have been to where they could penetrate, and as to the government, as to those of visitation into the foreign countries. So then we'll see this great body as to the constitution of this which is the beast himself. And then with this coming together as to the horns, as to the confederation, as to the market, this is where the covenant will be made with the Jews. The one weakness that Jews have is money. They always lack money and prosperity. And their compromising has been over money and wealth. And they have, in traveling around everywhere, kept the money. They may not keep land, they may buy land to turn it over, but they keep the money to take back to Israel. When you say money, we brought this out, as to gold, our money of monetary value is covered by gold, and whoever gets the monetary value as to the gold covering has that which is the coverage for all mankind as to wealth. That is to say gold, and they use the gold to write money off of. You understand what I'm saying? So then, this gold, whoever gets the gold certificate, has the power of gold, and anything else is a governmental note which doesn't have anything as to coverage. So then, that means that they have been able to buy and sell till they have gotten this. God allowed them to do that, to make them the head of the nations, when all of the money will become worthless. Speaking of this, we find that this great power is coming together now, in that the woman has birthed the child. That is the sunset of bloodshed in America as to racial discrimination. And problems have come and is coming in a greater way, in that wicked men will wax worse and worse. And so then when the child is born here in this religious nation, having to do with the bride of the child being caught up to the throne, it will immediately go back to the eastern world. Because the seed is from the male, and it goes back as to saying Jesus to sit upon the throne in the millennium after the tribulation period of the great bloodshed, and as the opening of the bottomless pits, to where all of these devastating forces will come out against American people and whatever. So then we see that this thing is taking place. The child is being caught up. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? The catching up of the child. It is the transformating of the child, the inner child, which is the Christ Spirit, being formed within you as to the travail of the minister. And now the birth. And the child goes up. As to the child going up, right at the time the red dragon is beginning to rise, even the powers of Russia, as to communism, as to stir China, to move as a power to overthrow everything in the entire world. For China is the great power that the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation, of so many hundreds of millions of people, where that this way through the sea will be made, that they may cross over, traveling east, as Marco Polo, going toward the east to come into that valley as the battle of Armageddon to surround Israel. For as I said, Gorbachev or the great leaders to Antichrist will make one great army as to a confederation. And it will not be many nations as to militant forces, but one great force as to an armed force by which he will control, or the way he will control them is through the computerized system and through the common market as to the purchasing of goods. And so then when he says, compass Jerusalem, go to Jerusalem, in that day there will be an evil thought that will come into the minds of Gog and Magog, and already that valley is surrounded with the seed of Gog and Magog, which is Russia. And they will come in as the seas are on horses, and they will come in around that valley. And in the book of Revelation it says, and one came forth, he came forth as that one having power over fire, said, cast in the sickle. It said, cut down the vine, take the vine as to the grapes that was left, cast them into the winepress of Almighty God. And the Bible said the winepress was trod without the city. Well, as we say, it goes to the grapevine, which means the end of the world, the cutting down of humanity, bringing all of these armies, these forces, out to the valley of Armageddon, that all of the kings of the earth will yield to this one great force, and they'll all gather together there in the valley, and Jesus will return as to the white horse. We will return out of glory in which we are right now, as that which we will excel to, that will be made known to us as the enlightening of this revelation, coming back us into the natural, and in this to the redeeming of the body. In this, coming back, and then this valley will be compassed about with this great multitude of people, even as with the Chinese people. And when all of them come together, the Lord will come forth with the vesture dipped in blood and the sword out of his mouth, and the blood will run to the horse's bridle. Like the song we wrote, cast in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. So then we see that we are nearing that right now. For the veil is being rent, and even the Mexico meeting having to do with the resurrection of the dead, even as the Phillips meeting up here, as the man coming from New Mexico, the land of enchantment, as to the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, and them having the meeting here, and much we could say about that if we took time to explain. So, great things is taking place. Mighty things is taking place. And we see that the Jews will cater to this great marketing. This is where the covenant comes in. This is Daniel's abomination of desolation as to the armies gathering in. For the Bible said, and when you see the armies compass Jerusalem, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And Daniel speaks of the abomination of desolation as the end of the world. So then it is so close that already they predict that they will have their marketing ready by 92. By 92, and I said that by 92 they'd come around, and in full force by the year of 93 everything would be going real good. And I spoke of Bush's administration as for the first 4 years as to where it would take us to, and that if he went in for the second as to where it would take us to. But as what it had to do with whether he went in or didn't go in, I brought it out both ways to show you what I understood of it. And maybe sometimes a little more specific, but in that we see the administration of Bush and what's happening, we go back to Moses as to the burning bush, meaning Israel coming in. And as to a combination, Paul says, and this great mystery, whereas the Gentiles are made heirs with the Jews or the house of Israel. That is to say, the body picked up by the Spirit. Or that is to say, the ritualistics as to the keeping of those things as making the body holy, withdrawing from the world, joining this great revelational knowledge of the church of the Spirit, which is the Gentiles, or that is to say, that body not coming to us, but us going to them, in that the body that is dead waits for the return of the Spirit as to the resurrection, and you are the children of the resurrection. For you are the body of the Lord, members in particular, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So then, in this, we see this thing taking place, as to say, the Gentiles and the Jew. That is to say, George as to Washington, the father of this country, the president, and as to Bush, as to Moses, as to the bush which represented Israel that burned with the fury of God but was not consumed. So then we see them coming together in one man to represent what is to take place. As the shell, what God is doing, and even in Reagan's, we spoke of it as to the movie that they had made when they brought that rod to Reagan's, which was the movie that they in that movie called Moses, they used this rod, and that man brought it to Reagan's, and that Reagan was a movie star and a friend of his. Anyway, speaking of these things, we go on to say what we're trying to explain here in just a few words, and that is the Jews will join this great operation. They will see a monetary value, and they will see that prosperity is having a marketing place on that side of the ocean, and they will become part of this, which will be the making of the covenant. So in the coming into the making of the covenant, in that there will be great nations that will come together in this thing, they will come together, they will make this great covenant as to a prosperity, for the Bible says Antichrist will make craft to prosper. And in this great constitution of this thing, craft will prosper in such a great way and import that the whole world will be swallowed up in it. And the Jews coming together in it, then they'll make this covenant as with this one great power, as they see it in leadership of these kings and confederation. And as I say, Antichrist will narrow the thing down till he gets control of it, because money answers through all things, and as to the papacy, the greatest power of money will soon seize upon it to bring in the great Hoa as the one church of people, as the Pope is doing right now going around the world. And as to the monetary values, as to exercise himself being the chief leader of all things and confiscating through the power of the number 666 as to the computerized system of numerical order around the world to control you as an individual. So right now it is monetary value as to numerical order, or it is goods as to monetary power through numerical order, but it will come down to an individual thing, and it will be control of individuality through numerical order. So we see this thing working around. Now, the covenant will be made. So that means that at this time, they've got to come together with this major move of the great armed forces as one unit to bring it to the place that it might fulfill the scripture where it says, "And who can make war with him? For if he is the man over all the armies of the world, no one can make war with him. He has the power of all the world." So then when the command is given, why will it be given? It will be given for one reason. Antichrist will magnify himself in taking over this marketing until he is number one. And he'll control the entire world, and he'll place himself above God and take control of everything. For the Bible said he will exalt his throne above God. And the Bible said it's Satan speaking, exalting his throne above the stars and of God. Whereas we see that in this knowledge is the race to the moon and the nest among the stars, God saying, "From thence I shall cast thee down to hell." So then in this, what will cause the armies to go in against Jerusalem? He will feel that he is the power of all powers and the control of all powers, and in this, having control of all of the nations of the world. The Bible said, and he will make all nations to come under his power, all people to come under his power, all nations, rich, poor, whatever, he'll have the marketing power. And you cannot buy nor sell unless you come into his system, for he will control it throughout the entire world. And then when this great gigantic force takes over, there will be one thing that will trouble him, and that will be tidings out of the east. For the one thing that the Jew will not do is compromise their religion. They will compromise as to the confederation, part being part of it, as to the monetary values, as the commerce, and as to the craft of the world. Because they can present their things there at the marketing, as do all the mechanism, as to religious selling, especially the Catholic side of it, as to marketing the things as religious things to bring money and monetary value to their nation. Or whatever products they might produce, they can bring it there. But when this troubling out of the East, that is, those Jews will always be religious, and they'll always be talking about the coming of their Messiah, and this great Antichrist, this man will get angry. He will think, I control the world. He will think that he is God, and he will confiscate, and he will put everything under the control of his numerical power. See, and then this is what's going to move the Jews to break the covenant. Because he's going to seize upon them. The Bible said, tidings out of the East shall trouble him, and he shall go forth with force and fury to overthrow the Jews. That is the abomination that maketh desolate. That is an abomination in the sight of God as to their way of life, as to their forces, and the desolation will be to the ravishing of the women, the driving out of the children, and 2/3 of them will be driven out as to a third left to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. When you see the armies come past Jerusalem, know that the desolation thereof is not. That is, Jerusalem will become desolate. And this is the fulfilling of the woman that flees into the wilderness after the child is born, as to the body of the 144,000 that goes upon Mount Zion. Jesus setting his feet upon Mount of Olives, and the eastern gates breaking, coming apart, the rending of the veil, and the Son of God going in to the tomb of David as to the gathering to David, their king, and the Son of David as he stands on the mount there where some of you that have been to Israel with me has stood at the tomb of David. So then, as to Mount Zion, he will come, and then the woman, as Lucifer, cannot make war with the 144,000, which is the whole house of Israel being saved, as to the deliverer coming out of Zion. So then, not being able to make war then with the 144,000, that is to say, having to do with the child, the woman birthing the child will flee into the wilderness. And he will go after the woman. And as he runs after the woman, as it was in the Old Testament, where God is over across the Jordan, made the houses of refuge, they will flee across the Jordan and he will go after her. But when she flees beyond that point, as into the wilderness, he will feel that she will be swallowed up and killed, that she will not be able to find her way, and the guards and the armies will be posted there at this point, to where she cannot come back into the civilization of God, or the world, that is. So then he will be satisfied, and God will stop him from the pursuit by bringing forth even an earthquake as in the days of Moses to swallow her, this great army, up with the flood. Or it could be anything as from a sandstorm or whatever that might be brought by the desert. But whatever it is, God will swallow them up. Now, so when this happens, then the Bible says, not being able to get to the child, which has gone up to the head, even Jesus, not being able to get to the woman, which has gone into what appears to be the valley of Petra, that is for a time's time and a half a time, or this happening in the middle of the week, as to say, the last week of Daniel, she goes into this place for 3.5 years, time's time and a half a time. And I tell you again, a time is a year, times is 2 years, and a half a time is 6 months, which is a half a year. So then time, time, and a half a time is to the last part of the last week of Daniel, which has to do with the 490 years. It stopped at Calvary as 483 years, leaving 7 years as to the last week of Daniel to come in after the days of Gentiles. This is why the Bible says that when the covenant is made with Israel, that it will be made for 7 years. See, when Israel joins this thing as to coming in 92, it will be, as we would say, for 7 years. Not because the Antichrist knows that 7 years is left, nor does Israel know that 7 years is left, but it is because from the time of the covenant, there's only 1 week of Daniel, which is 7 years. That is, it'll be made toward the first of the week, and broken in the middle of the week.
So that it's very obvious that in these things that we see as they're what God is doing with them, that the covenant will be made. And then when it is made, it'll only be 7 years. And this is something that I want you to observe. As the Antichrist, after the breaking in the middle of the week, will go forth to make war with the remnant of the seed of Israel, like cutting a dress out and the remnant is thrown aside. So then we see this, they will flee into the wilderness, as we say, the desolation, and then the valley of Petra. So then we see this, that with the first of the week the church is translated, it goes out, which means the change is the manifestation of what's already took place in the revelation, is the transformating of the mind to be made manifest, that the world may see and behold that God has taken the church out like a thief in the night, or catching the inner man out as to the darkness of the intellectual reasoning, the gross darkness of the night over the people as to the end time, and light appearing at the end time, the light most precious. So then we see this is to the transformating light, and we see that this covenant will be broken and that army will go forth. When that army goes forth, it is because tidings out of the east will trouble him, and he'll feel that if he can destroy the Jews and do away with that, that he will be supreme ruler. Satan will then feel that he is supreme in the earth with nothing never again to trouble him. And he will take over the old Jerusalem as to bringing this to pass while the Jews are fleeing away. The remnant, I say as to the woman and to the remnant, because the child has to do with the 144,000. As it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer. He shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, that is to say, his name being Israel. And the whole house of Israel shall be saved, or to save the children of Israel, that is to say, the 12 tribes and 12,000 to each tribe. And God has done that to bring to pass the scripture, the saving of the whole house of Jacob as to the Israelites are the children, the sons. So then we see this, and we see that this covenant thus is broken. Now let's look at it for just a minute. At the 92, this thing is supposed to be underway. I'm going to say this again. I've said some of this to you before. At the 92, is it nigh even at the door? How close is it? How should we then think? It is thus, as we would say, 92. How many years would be left from 92 until we turn to the 20th century? We are now 1900 years from Calvary, and we say 1989 years, fixing to go into 88, or 1990 years, and with 90, that leaves only 10 years. And then we turn another century in that another millennium, in that a millennium is 1,000 years. And as I say, there's no such teaching as the millennium coming in as biblical term. Millennium means 1,000. So man uses 1,000, you know, uses millennium as an application. So then another 10 years from 90, another 11 years, as we say, from about where we're at now. And it will then be another millennium, which will make the 20th century. And the century, of course, is 100 years. 2,000 years. As to a decade, 10 years. As to a century, 100 years. As to a millennium, 1,000 years. So then it turns, and when it turns, it comes in. That will be a full 6,000 years. 2,000 from Calvary, 4,000 to Calvary, a full 6,000 years since the act of the creation of mankind. The Bible said God worked in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now the question I asked you before, I want to ask you again tonight. If there is but from 92, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then comes the eighth as to the millennium, then that means that as Bush's administration, if you'll check it out, concerning 93, will hit it just exactly right. And with that, is this thing coming into power and being underway, there'll be exactly 7 years left as to the turn of the great event to bring in the sixth day, the ending of the sixth day of God's labor, and as to bring in the millennium as to the seventh thousandth year. That will bring in the millennium as to six, the ending of six millenniums, and bringing in the seventh millennium, which is the day of his rest. Not the new earth, but the restored earth. Now the question I ask you is this. If they start that thing and the Jews join it, how many years would it leave? Exactly 7 years. It will leave the last week of Daniel. And remember, this time is set off so that no one will know the day nor the hour. We'll know the times of the seasons as to what he will reveal to us. No man the day nor the hour, that it may come upon the world unawares. But ye know when it's nigh, even at the door. And I say again, if a man came to this door and knocked on this door, you're in this house, you know how close it is, that he's right there. If you open the door, he comes in. That's how close you can know it. So then we see these things. We know that it's nigh, even at the door. We see the signs of the time. So then the question I ask you is this. If everything falls into a sequence as to times and seasons, and God has always done things accordingly, do you believe that God will go beyond that as to bring another 1,000 years into view, which will means that we've got to go through another 1,000 years before the millennium can come? And then when it comes, it will be the 8,000th year, which will throw it out of balance as to God's working days and day of rest. Do you believe that he will let it go on to that? And the things that I'm asking is this. Do you understand that God is so fixed at saying that Antichrist will change the times and the seasons so that man won't know the coming of the Lord as to take it by book value? Men like Julius Caesar, these that change the calendars and the different kind of calendars and bringing in the leap year and all of these other things to misconstrue it as to the day, to know the very day, that is to say whether we're in 1989 or where are we? And then to take it, as I said, concerning the early life of Christ, the Lord has suffered a miscalculation as to the B.C. and the A.D. as to Christ going up to the temple at the age of 12, which puts him at the age of 9. And we know that even the Jews teach that 12 to 13 is the bar mitzvah, as to saying it must be about my father's business. So then there's a 3-year offset there. And if the 3-year offset is there, as to moving it forward, where then would we be? Where is this as to the date, as to the times and the seasons, as to know just exactly what this thing is going to be as to the date? See, I'm telling you that it is this close. Everything is close at hand to where we can see it, to know that it's nigh, even at the door. What do we think about it? How do we look at it, knowing that it's going to wind up this way? And that this is going to be the ultimatum of it as to the coming of the Lord and as to the desolation and as to the catching away. Whereas I say you won't be here to see the desolation. You'll not be here because that is the breaking of the covenant in the middle of the week. You've got to get ready. As to say if Daniel's last week is to be 7 years, then the church has to go out before the 7 years. That is to say, at the beginning of the 7 years, the church has to go out. How then can we be waiting for the church to go out if we are thus close, this close, as to say, to the last week of Daniel, or the coming in of the Jews and the ending of the days of the Gentiles? Someone says, when will the days of the Gentiles be over? We could pinpoint it in Revelation as to show you. As to the sealing of the 144,000, of that is to say, that is the Gentiles go out, then come the Jews in. And I brought this out in Revelation of why they come in when you go out and why they must come in. So then in that day, I'll send you Elijah the prophet and the great two prophets as to come on the scene at the first of the week. As the going out of the church, So then this great, wonderful, phenomenal thing is taking place. Now then, it means that something has to be taking place even now that the world doesn't see as to the ending of the days of the Gentiles and the coming forth of the Jews. There's something taking place that the world doesn't see even now that has to do with the translation of the church, and you can be sure that it is. No guessing, no make-believe, it's absolutely a fact. That's thus saith the Lord. It's just exactly that way. So then when we see this, we know that something is happening. That means that you and I needs to check up. We need to get things straight. We need to stop playing religion and running around here like a bunch of children. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. And we need to get down to business as to the sermon I preached the other night, to put off the old man as this body and put on the new man. That is to say, get rid of the body of this death, which is the lust and the powers of lust that has caused the inner man to be subjected to the forces of this world right here, as to not redeeming his body to have that wonderful thing as the bride that I spoke to Sister Betty about today. Wish we had time to go into it to prove these things as how the bride comes in. But anyway, just saying these things that you're listening at, to put a few of these things together to try to determine where we are at. How close is it? Beloved friend, if we go out at the first of the week and the ending of the days of the Gentiles is over at the first of the week, and then the covenant as to the desolation in the middle of the week, how far along are we? How far does Bush's administration go as to the coming of this next millennium as to 1,000 years? Think it over. Many things we could say tonight, and many more things I'd like to say this pertaining to this particular issue right here, but I took up so much time as to the previous part of it, I can't elaborate in that. You've been a good audience and listened real well, and it's getting late. So let's stand together. May God bless you. We're glad to have you here. We appreciate it. I said this morning we'd try to speak on a few of these things if we possibly could, and you made it possible by your mannerism of conduct in the house of God. We're glad to see our brother come and be with us. Is the name Baxter? Baxter, Brother Baxter, that seems to me to be a real, genuine child of God. As to a light and a pillar in the temple of God, as some have been down through the years, Jesus said, "He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." And in that God's temple is a great spiritual temple, then those that have borne the load have stood as pillars in this day, that I and you and others might lean upon them. And those that are in the past could lean upon them as pillars. So they're pillars. They don't move. They stand there with the righteousness of God and the faith of God. And others in their mind to lean upon these, as my wife said to what seemed to be a pillar in the temple of God today, said, "I'm so glad to see you people holding out for God to know that somebody is going on with the Lord." And this woman said to Sister Betty, said, "Sister Betty, pray. Pray for me," said, "because I don't want to fall by the wayside." Precious, wonderful children of God whose light is most precious. And your light so shining that men may see your good works even throughout the earth. And they glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Appreciate Donnie being here and Brother Baxter being here. And you being here. I didn't call your name. If you're here, you're new, I want you to know we're glad to have you in Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Let's sing a chorus together. Think over these things, meditate in them. Give yourself wholly to them that your providence may appear to all. And folks, I say many, many other things that God would like to say to us, but we, even I, were dull of hearing. And these wonderful things, what are these things? They are the contents of the mind of Christ, which has come to you as heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel, as to bring the great unveiling, revealing, transformating light, as to reveal from glory to glory, as beholding your face and that of Jesus Christ's face as an open mirror, to be changed into the great image of which he is, as to the eternal body, to make manifest this eternal life from within into the body, to make it an eternal existence. Or that is to say in simple words that we are his glory.
We are His people. Have the glory of this building, for the Bible said we're God's building, even the temple. The light of this glory, as of this building, the glory of the latter house, is most precious. So then, seeing that we have this great, wonderful thing, and we have received the contents of this great word, now it has been made spirit and transformating our mind from glory to glory. The inner man, therefore, it is being revealed to him where he is at, who he is and what he is, that it might be so overwhelming as to be released through this bodily part as to the outer man. It will resurrect us from this body of death, or as to this darkness of intellectual reasoning under which constraint this natural body dwells. So to bring it forth out of this world of darkness, for the Bible said even the creature itself shall be redeemed. And the redemptive price has been paid. You have the spirit, the earnestness of your inheritance. And now the purchased possession must come forth. So remember that God begat himself a spiritual being, even Jesus. And you that are born of it are a spiritual being. And someday he will manifest his natural being, even the blood-dipped vesture as to the head. And your natural being will be changed, coming forth from the resurrection as the watery grave in which you have been buried. So it's not you living, but Christ Jesus as the spiritual, angelic inner man. And not you living as in the sight of God as he looks across the chasm from Calvary over to the change of Thessalonians to see you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not you living, but Christ, not charging your sins against you. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their sins and trespasses unto them. Giving you grace, so that is to say, this is why that I preach that the body cannot be born again. Your inner man, as to the spirit, has been born again. Your body thus died and went into the grave. And your body is of the first man, Adam, because God has no natural children. So then all of this is lying vanities. To observe as of it is to lose your great potentiality of glory. So then that is why that I teach this body coming from Adam, not from God, for ye are of this world, I am of heaven, he said. So as of this world, this body must come to the day of the change. He hath paid the price of redemption, give you the earnestness of your inheritance, but your purchased possession that he actually died to purchase was your body at Calvary. That is the purchased possession. That's what he died to purchase, and it hath been redeemed. But you, from lack of understanding, have not as of yet comprehended the redemption of your body. So we're moving on through this transitional change. Though you be Lord of all, yet your children under the tutors, until the time appointed of the Father, even the bar mitzvah is coming to the change, even the redemption of the body. So that is why I say that you have to wait until the Jews come in, as to the first of the week. Then everything will be the law. And your body, which could not be born again, will be adopted into the God family by the change of the interglory of the new birth within you. And then the creature itself will be partakers of the new birth as the sons of God, as to say, by adoption. In that the Jews come in by adoption, so do you come in by adoption, because adoption is always by the law. And so then it's coming, and then what he did for you at Calvary as to your bodily redemption will be made manifest in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the finishing of the mysteries as to you knowing and comprehending. See, and then the body as to the creature will also be changed into the glorious liberties of the interspiritual beings, which is the sons of God, which already have their liberty from the body that went back to God, who gave it at death of the body, and they're dwelling in heaven. And the body will come out of this constraint as to the beggarly elements of this world, as to the mind of bondage, which has the child of the world as to the bond's child, in that is bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, as to appetites and desires. Oh, a lot of things we could say. Can we sing a little chorus together? Let's sing I Love Him. Can you sing it? I take a little time sometimes because, and I know you're tired and I'm tired, but the thing is, these go on tape and they go to people all over the world. Many people that are not with the ability, perhaps as sharp and clear as yours, as to comprehend, they have to have a tape to play it back, to listen and over and over. They scrutinize it to try to find out what is being said and what is being done, because it is very foreign to them in the foreign fields, things like this. So I preach a revival as like in the Philippines, and the multitudes come, they are converted, I pray for the sick, they're healed. And then I try to get the tapes and the literature to them because it's so foreign to them. And then they listen and listen and re-listen until it becomes a reality, and then nobody can convince them of anything else. Your eyes being enlightened is to comprehend. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Can you sing it with me? Every promise, every chapter, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it again. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Wouldn't you like to be in this last move of God? Wouldn't you like to be in it? You can be in it, but you've got to be spiritual. I would that you were spiritual. Pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation to move this intellectual veil, that you may comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, your eyes being enlightened. So then let's believe God. Let's have faith. One spirit, many operations. So then as we sing together to worship God, let's worship the Lord for just a few minutes, and then after that we're going to let you go. The altars are open. We're singing, and I know that you're tired. I'm tired. But together we'll worship the Lord. I watch little Misty. She comes with a regularity. If I ever say the altars are open, down she comes to the altar. A beautiful, beautiful little Jewish girl. All right, let's sing together. Can you sing with me? Give me another key. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are paved. There the tree of life is blooming, and the roses never fade. Can you sing it with me? Here they bloom, but for a season. Then their beauty it decays, but I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Then their beauty decays, but I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
Can you sing it one more time?
Here they bloom, but for a season. Then their beauty they decay. But I am going to that city where the roses never fade.
Can you sing another chorus with us? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Sing with me now. Our time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Think now, Calvary, the end of the world. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And the Bible said, and in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And so then in the fullness of time our Savior came, and he said, it is finished. So then time was no more, and we see it conveyed over as to Revelation 10 and 7, where this great wonderful Christ is the angel with the rainbow about his head and his foot on the land and the sea, is to say, one foot in the spirit and one in the natural. He raises his hand to heaven and swears by him that liveth forever and ever, that in the days of the voice of Revelation 11:15, the mystery of God should be finished. And someone would say, didn't that come in the end of the world? It sure did at Calvary, when his hands went up and he said, this is finished. And Peter said, the end of the world, and time shall be no more. Can you sing it with me? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be taking away the shadows, bringing the day of God. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Entering into the day of his rest, even the day of John, as it was said, John in the Lord's day, and that on the Sabbath, as in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So then we see that time is no more, the shadows is gone. The day star has dawned within our heart. And as it is with Calvary, we say back there, not as to you and I, because we were not born back there. But our Calvary is as of today, for Calvary lives on. For it is the day that the Lord has made, and it is the end of all things, and it is the end of the world, and it is the fullness of time. And all entered into that ark as to be hid from the storm of the wrath of God, as it was poured out upon Jesus, who was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. In that ark, as coming up out of the earth, rose to the highest place to sit down on the right hand of God. And today that blood-dipped vesture is sitting at the right hand of God. Someday we'll see it, we'll behold it, as we are elevated to the place of that wonderful gathering.
So time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Can you sing it with me again? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. It's from Calvary that those angelic beings begin to take off a seal and a seal. And the angel came, or the Lord Jesus came, and the seven seals were opened. And he opened one of the seals as the Lamb came and took the book, and the mystery was made known. And he opened another seal. And down through the churches and church ages until the end of the ages, and then came the sevenfold light. As to the fullness of the coming of that city, as to the refraction of what struck it at Calvary when the prism of the cornerstone came, as to the stone saying, grace, grace. And then the light coming down is to the sevenfold dimensional unfolding as to the end. And here comes the sevenfold light as Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, Paul saying, not I that live, but Christ. As in those churches that he established to bring to you and I the full revelation of the Son of God. For he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of Christ as to the word of the Lord. And so the sevenfold light is to say, whatever they've known in part, we know now as that in perfection. For the Bible said, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be swallowed up into the perfection. All that is, it'll be done away with. So is Calvary, when the law which was imperfect went away, as to say that which was in part, and that the Jews know in part. And the Bible said, they that come under the law, nothing coming under the law could thereby be perfected, and they without us could not be made perfect. So then on this side, as of the day the Lord has made, things is made perfect, and here we are as being perfect before him, not seeing as through a glass darkly as through the law of the veil of that which is intellectual concept, but looking as face to face, beholding as in a glass his face, as to the light most precious, which is changing us, as we say, and the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. So then we see this wonderful light most precious that is changing us into the glory of God as we behold it. And that light is to the revealed contents of the mind by measure to measure, as thought to thought and glory to glory, as being revealed from the inner man on the inside, as to whatever measure you to be, as to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever you're willing to go on to, as to a full reward, to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And this light most precious being revealed to you as you listen and hear, as you understand, as you apply, as it's revelated, as your thoughts are broken, as to the fission and the splitting of the nucleus and that great light coming forth, as into all the earth, and yet no one that can see but you as to comprehend, as to a transformating of the mind. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad. It is the day of his rest. And the Bible said, they that come out of Egypt, God not being pleased with them, they entered not into the rest of the Lord, but was cut off because of their murmuring and grumbling, and would not apply themselves as to listen to what Moses had to say. And so it is with the church world. Hundreds and millions of people have not listened. They've just went to church and went out to fish and hunt and to do their own thing and to buy and to sell and to get whatever they wanted to listen at, not giving them more heed. And so then today they're not on this journey, as we say, to another country. And God not being pleased with them, they look back into Egypt, but turn back into the flesh in their own intellectual way, and their minds and their hearts, as to their families and relatives, and eating and drinking and such things as in the world. And God cut them off in that they're blinded and they cannot see. They did not enter into this day of rest. And they're still struggling with their do's and don'ts of trying to figure out
how to be righteous in the sight of God, and as it was with the Jews, going about to establish their own righteousness, they've stumbled at the righteousness of God, which is by faith from this unveiled light, which is most precious. So then we see that you, being the children of the resurrection, you have obtained unto it, and Paul said, the elect having obtained it, and the rest was blinded. So, this is the day of his rest. They did not enter into his day of rest, but you can enter into the day of his rest, and they that have come into his rest have ceased from their own works, to know that it was wrought by him as to righteousness, and not by the things that they do. So we're going to sing, "This is the day." Can we sing, "This is the day"? So this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in. I'll be glad. But this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day the Lord hath made. How can I rejoice and be glad in it? Because my warfare is accomplished. Hear, O Israel, thy warfare is accomplished. How can I then rejoice and be glad in it? Because I am not working for my living anymore. I am at rest in him. I'm not striving to go about to establish my own righteousness. Not anymore. But I am believing that he has overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, then my faith is sufficient. As to this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith and confidence in him who overcome the world for me. And today it makes me happy because I have not been cut short in that he's given me all things that pertain unto life, whether joy, prosperity, blessings, eternal existence, or whatever it might be. Happiness, so I am happy. I am alive. So I sing the song, I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you've ever come to see this, to believe it, you can't do anything else but rejoice, because it's like an overflowing artesian well springing up within my soul. So we'll sing it again. This is the day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I'll be glad. But this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath. Let's give him a hand, can you? I want to sing that again. Do you believe that I'm telling you the truth? Do you believe that I'm telling you the truth? If this is the day that the Lord has made, and you're going to rejoice and be glad in it, then that means, like the vision that I saw, that the fire came and it's over, and it's over, and it's over, for it was over at Calvary, and time shall be no more, for it goes out with the last day of his labor. And if this is the day of his rest, he finished his work in the last day, and that was the end of time. And this is the day. Not time creatures now. You're not time creatures. You're in the day of the Lord. You work 6 days. On the seventh we rest. Israel dwelt in the booths. Somebody say hallelujah. The new harvest is coming in now. All this time without leaven, which means sin. Now we've come to the new harvest. This is the day of the new harvest. Of the new harvest. Can you sing it with me? So this is the day of the revelation. Day of the revelation. 6 days and the veil was rent. And then comes the seventh, the restoration of all things. Now we're going through this to transformate into that great light. Remember, folks, you bypass. You go into that great city. The earth will go on into the millennium, even the nations. But you go up in the ark. You ride over. You go to that great wedding to be made eternal, celestial, to enjoy the millennium and the eighth day of rest. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. Joyce. For this is the day. This is the day that my Lord, one more time together. For this is the day. Can you give him a wave offering? That my Lord hath made. That my Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it. I'm so glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that my Lord hath made. You're going to cease from your works now and glorify him because he hath now made you righteous and you are now perfect. How many of you feel real perfect like? Lift your hands. Come on. Talking about your angelic being now. We've took time to explain this to many of you. Do you feel perfect? The Bible says God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you feel sanctified? The Bible said God has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Isn't that right? Don't you know this is the perfect day? This is the day of restoration. So then you're in the perfect day. Could you be in the perfect day and not be a perfect person? Come on, folks. Think we better sing it again? This is the day of the perfect man. This is the day of the perfect woman. And this is the day. And this is the day my Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Cause I'm living in it. I am living in it. For this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that my Lord hath made. How many of you are glad you made it in? Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Did you believe the world made it in? They didn't make it in. Paul said, and the elect obtained unto it, and the rest was blinded. For this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to revelation at the rending of the veil. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's lift our hand to God and say hallelujah. I'm so glad I made it. I'm so glad I made it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You love the Lord? We're going to sing this little chorus, "This is like heaven to me," and we're going to dismiss. Can you sing it with me? Give me a key, Brother Taylor. Hold to what you got. Give me a key. Let's sing this chorus together. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory
victory. I'm shouting the victory. Oh, we've crossed over Jordan, over that old carnal mind of death, to the mind of Christ now. Got the new harvest in Canaan. For this is the victory, even your faith that overcometh the world, the victory. For this is the victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is the victory. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and we're shouting the victory. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And this is like heaven. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I'm shouting the victory. I just feel like we ought to sing one more song. And it goes like this. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua say, for on the other side of Jordan my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you cross the other side, you shall be. Get over the carnal mind now. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Over the carnal mind now. To be carnally minded is death. It's submitted with God. Not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Be spiritual minded. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, who be in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Reach the other side, you shall. Sing it with me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord did Joshua say, for on the other side of Jordan my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, come on now, cross over to the other side of Jordan. Don't be numbered with the old now. Remember, you're numbered with the new. Moses took them a long way, done great things. But you're the ones that are in the revelation now. You're the ones that's children of the Spirit, children of the resurrection. You've come out of the veil. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall. Can you sing it with me now? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord did Joshua say it. For on the other side of Jordan my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, shall say more time, I'm on the other side of Jordan. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm on the other side of Jordan. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm on the other side of Jordan, in the land that's of the free. I'm on the other side of Jordan, and Jesus dwells in me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord did Joshua say. For on the other side of Jordan
My people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage free. And when you cross the other side, let's give him another hand. Let me say this in closing tonight. Don't forget your God's Joshua. Your God's Joshua. Remember that now. Your God's Joshua. I once shook the earth, but now I'm going to shake the heavens. Shake the heaven. When Brother Moses moved, he shook the earth. But you people have done gone up into the heavens now, and you're going to shake the heavens. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean, you're the man child. You're caught up into that third heaven. That mind, you got a rod of iron. Can't nobody deceive you or change you. It's not a doctrinal thing. You know by revelation the truth has made you free. You're going to rule with a rod of iron. You're not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine to start a church and a church and another church and to dispute with somebody and with corrupt minds. But you're going to cast the devil out. And a third part of the stars, you're going to shake the heavens till the stars fall out of the heaven. Watch and see if you don't do it. Watch and see if you don't do it. You're going to shake the heavens till the stars is going to fall out of the heavens. Hallelujah. I can tell you believe it. That alone proved that you are those children. How could you believe it if you wasn't those children? I can tell that that's from your spirit which proves that you're those children. You're that God's Joshua, the catching up, even the resurrected Christ. Members in particular, let's close our eyes together and bow our heads. Go forth, you reapers, and reap the fields. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, we'll just sing that together, can you? Bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves. I hear them rejoicing, they're bringing in the sheaves. They're bringing, Brother Taylor, they're bringing in the sheaves. In the sheaves. I can bringing in the sheep, they're bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves. I hear them rejoicing, they're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves. I hear them rejoicing. Can you sing it again? Rejoice forevermore, children of God, you made it. Bringing in the sheaves. This is the victory to believe you made it through him. Come on, enter into his rest now. Come on now, this will make you rejoice. When you know you can't sin against God and everything's well with you and you've got eternal life, this will make you rejoice. Give him glory now. Give him glory. He done it all for you. Bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves. I hear them rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, they're bringing in the sheaves. I hear them rejoicing, they're bringing in the sheaves. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, for doing all of this for me. I love you for doing all of this for me. Glory to God, I may stumble, Jesus, but I'm still your little boy. I'm still your little girl. You may spank me, but I'm still yours. Glory to God. I'll just get up and go on because I'm yours. Hallelujah. Them that he loves, he chastises. Be zealous and repent. The main thing is you're his. You're his, and all things are yours because you made it. You made it. Can you say with me, I made it. By faith in God, I made it. I made it by the works of the Son of God. I give him glory. Hallelujah. Give him glory, all ye people. And give him glory, all ye people. For the Bible said everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth said hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory to the Lamb of God. And glory to the Lamb of God that finished it at Calvary for me. I made it, and this is my victory that overcometh the world. Even my faith in it is finished. Even my faith in it is finished. Hallelujah. Can't add nothing thereunto. I guess we just have to sing one more chorus. I said we was going to go. We're going to sing, I Will Praise Him. I will praise Him. We need to praise Him, Brother Hollis. Praise Him on the instruments. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. And give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away your sinful stains. Sing it with me now. And we will praise Him. Your sins are gone now. They're underneath the blood of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. And Messiah will come and make an end of sin. Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away my sinful stains. One more time then. And we will praise Him. We will. Don't, ain't you happy? Ain't you happy? Ain't you full of joy? Come on now, if you're born again. Oh, hallelujah, I can feel the Holy Ghost. Folks, remember, when you're born, you can't be unborn. And when you're born into this first world, you can die. But folks, when you're born with eternal life, that means you can't die. That's what eternal life means. You've been born into eternal life. Ain't you happy? Ain't you happy, all that worry about death? You pass from death into life. Hallelujah, ain't you happy? I will praise Him. I'll praise Him. How could I do anything else? Praise. Somebody said, but I doubt. Don't doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt. See, that's the proof of your new birth, is that you're going to throw yourself on Him and say, my God, I don't care what's happened. Forgetting those things that are behind. I don't care what I think. I don't care about thoughts coming to me. Glory to God, He said it in His word, and that's what I am. Come on, folks. The Lord for sinners slain. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain, and give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed. I can pick up one woman's spirit in the back, and she really believes this. She's given herself to this. Sing it again. I will praise Him. Jesus said, don't doubt now, just believe. All things are possible to them who believe. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And God has translated my spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John since Calvary. The gospel has been preached. The kingdom is here, and I've been translated into it. And God is translating men into it now. Somebody said, but I've never been translated into it. Now's the time to believe. Let Him translate you into it. Come on now. While we're singing. So I. While we're singing now, let Him translate you, your spiritual being, into the wonderful kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Don't
don't you want this to happen around the world? Has it happened in the Philippines? Has it happened in Africa? Don't you want it to happen in Mexico and other places where we've been, where it's happened? Can you praise Him? Can you praise Him? Praise His upright. The Bible said He's comely for the upright. You're not praising Him. For I will praise Him. Come on, folks. I will praise Him. How long will you do it, Brother Pike? Throughout eternity. I'll never stop no more. I'll never stop no more. Never get tired no more. I'll praise Him throughout eternity. Praise Him for what? Because I made it. I made it. Somebody said, I'm holding on. God bless your heart. Hold on. Hold on. Someday you'll make it like I did. Hold on. I made it. One more time. So we will praise Him. Praise Him for what? Because we've entered into His rest the day that the Lord has made. Made it. And time is no more. Death is no more. The little group of people I see that made it, I saw them in the vision, they made it. The wrath of God is past now. It's gone now. For you it went over at Calvary. And the ark made it, and all that was in the ark made it. Members of His body in particular. So we will praise Him. What am I trying to get you to do? Believe. If you are to be healed, you must believe first. You do not wait for the healing and then believe. If you are to be saved, you must believe first. That it is a finished work. If you are to be translated and appear in heaven, you must believe that you are there first. As by the word of God, whatever the word of God says, that's the way it is. You're bringing the end of the world, folks. And we see, the thing is, somebody says, but Brother Pike, does the world actually end when that angel says what he says? It does for the saints. You'll notice in the book of Revelation, the world continues on, but not for the saints. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. You're the children that's not children of time, nor children of death. Somebody said, well, I know someday it's going to happen. Folks, it's already happened. Before the world ever was, in the full knowledge of God, you become the elect of God. I will praise Him. Elect according to the foreknowledge. God elected you unto grace. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Elected in grace before the world ever was. Brought to light at Calvary. Now it's been preached to you. You're comprehending the heights. You're comprehending the depths. And when you comprehend to believe, then your healing comes. Your salvation comes. Your eternal life comes. Heaven comes. Heaven comes. Heaven comes. It's all faith. Enoch translated by faith, and I will praise Him. Somebody says, what happened to you, Brother Pike? Well, believe it or not, the Bible said that God translated me into His marvelous kingdom. And today I am in His marvelous kingdom. I am in His marvelous kingdom. For God hath, the Bible says, translated me into His marvelous kingdom. I believe it. That's what makes it real. It's because He said it and I believe it, and that makes it so. You love the Lord, don't doubt, Jesus said. Believe the word. For I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners. Remember now, the flesh profiteth nothing. Don't worry about the old body. It has nothing to do with it. Remember, the Jews is coming on in a little bit. And the adoption will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the change. Don't worry about that. You're sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God already? So we... If you're sons of God, we need to be about our Father's business throughout the entire world to bring this message of deliverance. This is real deliverance, folks. All things that pertain unto life belongs to you, and you're delivered from all things by which the law could not deliver you. And you're his precious children, and all things are yours. Health, happiness, real deliverance.
People, for his blood has washed away every stain.
All right, let's lift our hands and close our eyes. Now that you made it, are you happy? Are you happy? Is there anybody here that is in the kingdom of God? I am. If there is, wave your hands if there's anybody that's in the kingdom of God. Praise God, that's wonderful. You made it. How many of you know that when you're in the kingdom of God, you made it? You can't get no closer. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. This is what I want you to believe. Now we're going to set in on that old body, put the bridle on him, go on to perfection as to make him take a bow before God and come out of the old hog pen of the world and quit playing around with them out there, because we're going to trim our wick and check our oil. Because that midnight cry is here, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Rise up as the watchman on the wall said at the midnight cry. Folks, I can tell you for sure, the midnight cry is here, and gross darkness is covering the people. You rise up and trim your lamps and get ready to go out to meet him, because behold, the bridegroom cometh. I'm telling you the truth. Behold, he's coming. Somebody says, but I don't see him. Having eyes, you see not. But praise God, I see him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of them. He's in the midst of them. Hallelujah. So then, I will praise him and give him glory. Praise God. Let's lift our hands again. Close our eyes. I'm going to ask Junior to come and pray. And while Junior comes to pray, let's think on the Lord. Can you do that tonight? Oh, folks, you don't know how great it is as a people that you are his wonderful people. You are his great and mighty sons and daughters. You already are. And nothing can touch you. Nothing. You've kept yourself by his grace, and never has Satan touched you. Never. With all of his accusations, with all of the things that he said. That's why Brother Pike tries to reprove you and tell you, don't let him make you stagger and stumble. You're God's. You're perfected forever. You're his perfect ones. Folks, when that old body stumbles and staggers, you just tell it to get down where it needs to be and put it in the dust and ashes. And you rise up and you sing, glory to God, I'm a son of God. And you're not going to cause me trouble by messing around with that body, Lucifer. It's dead in the sight of God. And I'm going to resurrect this thing from the dead. I'm going to bring it away from the worms. And I'm going to show you what this metamorphosis can do in God as to the transformation of the mind. And I'm going to show you something that will outshine the brightness of the noonday. You can do it, folks. Don't let him reign in your mortal body. Not for a minute. Put him down. Don't ever let him tell you that you're not perfect because you stumble. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing as to the body as which he allowed in the stumbling and the staggerings. And if you're perfect in heart, there's no problem. God knoweth all things. If your heart condemns you, he knows you're still his. There's no condemnation to you in the sight of God. So don't condemn yourself. All right, while your hands are up and your eyes are closed and they're playing on the instruments, I want our brother to come and dismiss us. Think on Brother Pike when you don't have anything else to do, and think on Sister Betty and her family, and pray that God will help us and open doors to us around the world that we might share this wonderful light in whatever measure we can to whoever we can, as to the heathens. The Bible said, I've set thee as a light to the ends of the earth. Your light so shine that men around the world may see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven as you go into all the world, even as a launching pad from little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, to preach the gospel to every creature, to be one body, to be one brotherhood, to be one mind, one faith, one baptism, and to be one brotherhood as Zion, coming again to see eye to eye and speaking the same thing and not breaking ranks. Praise God. Let's give God one more hand. Can you do it? All right, as Junior comes.